2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 8 through 17. But before I do, I better get this part out of the way. Because I have to. I got a good dad joke. I think it's like one of my favorites right now. Can I? I'm going to do it anyways. And it's a church setting, so I think it's perfect. So I used to be addicted to soap. But now I'm clean. Thank you, everybody. I'll be here all night. That's a great joke. All right. No? All right, let me look for another one. I'm kidding. Okay, let's get spiritual again. So 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 8 through 17. And it reads like this. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be that it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. When he called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered her, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, and which Elisha had told her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your peace, Lord. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you that you're moving in our lives. You have moved, and you continue to move in our lives, Lord. And we just thank you for your revelation, Lord. Father, we lift up those lost, those hurting, those in need of healing, a healing touch, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, freedom for the captive, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Blind eyes may see, Lord. We thank you, Father God, the lame may walk, Lord. We thank you for your power, your anointing, your spirit is welcome to do as it pleases in this place in our lives, Father God. Continue to touch, continue to speak to your hearts, to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, so we see in this story, and I didn't read on, but as we continue in this story, if you go back and read it all, not right now, theater not yet, but if you go back and read it, you'll see that, you know, the child is born, and it says that the child grew, and the child grew, and then one day, as the father was in the field, the child goes and he complains, and he says, my head, my head. And as we heard the other day, and as we heard Pastor Al, I like the way he explains it, as every good father does, he says, go tell your mother, right? Go tell mom. But he says, my head, my head. And the child was sent to the mother. And the story continues to tell us that he sat in her lap to about noontime and passed away. And the child died. And it says that the mother takes the child to Elisha's room that she built. She left him there and then closes the door behind him, right? And then she goes after Elisha. Right, I'm paraphrasing. I'm giving you the short version. But it says that she went out. She finds Elisha. Right, he sends Gehazi, his servant, ahead with the staff. Right, and he goes up to the child, lays it on the child, and nothing happens. Elisha comes back. Right, lays on top of the child. One time, lays on top. It says the body gets warm. Okay, so then he goes back, and it says he goes back up. He prays. He goes back up, lays on the child, and then the child is brought back to life, right? So we see the miracle here that happens in this story. Amen? It's a great miracle, right? A child brought back to life, right? We see this miracle, and we know that the miracle, everyone here is a walking miracle, right? We were once dead in our trespasses, I'll say it, right? But now he has given us life. Amen? But we see in the story, and one thing I want to touch on is a few verses back in verse 8 this morning into the afternoon. Way in the afternoon. And we see here that in verse 8, it says that the man of God would go to the city, to Shunem, I'll get it right, we'll get it, Shunem, and it says that he would go there, okay? And it says that as he went, there was a notable woman, okay? And she persuaded him. So he would come, and let's just say he came and visit. Anybody like visitors here? Raise your hand. You don't have to, because I might come visit. But nobody really likes visitors too much, right? How unannounced visitors. Who's a fan of unannounced visitors? Nobody? We're all welcome, right? Those are the best. Peter, did you raise your hand? Let's all go to Peter's house address. But you know what? I remember before you started driving and you would just drive around. Remember, what was the old saying? I was where? I was in the neighborhood. That was the old saying. I was in the neighborhood. I was driving by. I was in the neighborhood and I just want to see what's going on. Knock on the door. Not only that, you would come in and stop. Not only that, that person was actually glad to see you, right? Hey, come on in, right? We have, you know, come on in and let's enjoy. And the night and the hours would go on and on and on. But it used to be a good time, right? And now we peek out the window, right? You hear a car door, and you're like, oh no, please don't let it be my house, right? Things have changed, but we see here a visitor. We see here a visitor that came by, and we think of these times of these unannounced visits. We think of, for me, I think of like when I grew up. I grew up in a two-bedroom apartment. It was two-story, two bedrooms, okay? And there was four of us. It was two sisters, two brothers. I was the youngest. And so there was only two rooms. Parents had one. Sisters had one. So me and my brother grew up, the living room was our bedroom, okay? One couch was his. The other couch was mine. That was our bed, okay? His bed was a little fancier in that you could pull it out, right? Had the spring and you had to pull it out and then throw the flap over. The legs came down. His was a little fancier. He was older than me. But we had that. But I remember growing up, we always had visitors in my house. There was always somebody in my house, and it was normal. Always. There was a relative. Usually it was a relative from Mexico who was, you know, trying to get their foot into this country and trying to establish themselves, and they would come to our house, and they would stay there. I remember they had kids, they would come, and they'd go to school with us, right? And they became, it was normal. They were in our house, and there was always somebody there, and then they would get established, find a job, find an apartment, and then they would move out, and then next you know, hey, I got another cousin who lives with us, you know? But that was, okay, hey, it's my uncle. I didn't know I had an uncle, but, right? But we became like the house that, you know, they would come from Mexico, and they would come and stay with us and get established and then move on. But we always had these visitors. We always had them. And to me, it was normal. It was just a normal, it was a normal thing. That's how I grew up. And like I said, and they weren't just visiting here for a week. They were staying, you know, a whole school year or whatever the case may be. But like I said, that was a normal thing, that there was somebody there. And whatever was happening in their life, that was happening. But it says here that this was regularly. Some of these words are tough. But it says that the visits happened regularly. Okay? Verse 8, it says that she persuaded him to come and eat some food as often as he passed by. As often as he passed by. So every time she was there and she was offering some food, it says he was persuaded, right? The old, I insist, right? No, I insist. And back and forth, I don't know how many back and forths we do now, right? But it's, I insist, and no, I insist, and you go back and forth. But this person kept insisting, come and eat with us, come and dine with us, right? Come and spend some time with us. So he was persuaded. And we think, and it got me to thinking in these verses about how intentional are our visits with the Lord, right? How intentional are, do we come? And sometimes we come maybe out of obligation. When I was a kid, I think I may have shared the story, maybe not. But as a kid, my parents used to always make sure I went to church. I grew up in Catholic church, and always go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church. Instilled, right? Go to church. And I would go, and I would go, and I would go. And as I got older and I can kind of go on my own, right, I would go, I found out they would have a lot of masses. And I found out that the 10 o'clock mass was the shortest mass of all the masses. There was a priest that was older, and he would just fly through everything he said. You couldn't even understand him because he was just going so fast. But for me, it was like, hey, as long as this guy's done, I'm out and I can go do whatever I can. But the most important thing for me, when I would go on Sundays, the most important thing is they used to give the bulletins. They would have them. They would hand them out. And I made sure. I got there and I would make sure I got my hand on one of those bulletins. Why? Because I wanted to come home and show my mom I went to church. Here's my receipt. I got my receipt. Here's my credit for the week. And I went to church. Right? That was my focus of my visit there, right? Just make sure I get credit, okay? And I can go on about my business, and I took care of that part. Earlier today, we heard not just a check mark, right? Thank you for that. That was not in my notes, but it should have been. But what is the purpose of these visits that we have? When the Lord visits us, or when we come to church, when we go to a Bible study, when we spend time to read, what is happening here? How intentional are we? Do we have that expectant heart? Right? Do we have that expectant heart that we come in and we say, I'm not just going to church. I'm going to come and hear from the Lord. In spite of who's up here. Right? I'm going to come and the Lord is going to have a word for me. The Lord is going to reveal something. He's going to touch my heart. He's going to, right? Do we have that expectancy, right? Do we put on Zoom on Wednesday and do we say, Lord's going to speak to me today? Do we come on Tuesdays, Lord's going to speak to me? Do you go to your Bible study wherever you go and you say, the Lord's going to speak to me? Do we have that heart of expectancy? Are we persuasive, right? Are we intentional? Are we saying, or are we just, all right, here comes another visit. Let me just get my hands on the receipt here. Let me just get my hands on the bulletin so that I can go about my business. Let me do my time. How intentional are our visits with God? In these visits that we have, and I'm calling them visits for the sake of this, but in these visits that we have with God, are we drawing closer, or do we feel like we're fading away? Like, what is happening, right? When we take inventory, if we take inventory, we should take inventory of our lives. Pray to the Lord, where am I? Where am I going? But as we take, are we fading away? I always like using the example of when the kids would go, when we take them to the beach, and they, you know, they're out there in the water, and you're here, and they're right in front of you, and a few hours later, what happens? The kids are over there, right? And you're like, how did that happen, right? And the waves just kind of took them away. And next thing you know, you're like, you're moving your chairs or you're calling them back. But something happened where, hey, they're not right here anymore, right? They were taken away. They were swept away. What is happening to us? What is happening in our lives? Are we being, as I said, intentional in these visits that we have, right? To hear from God, to learn from Him, that He may speak to our lives to help us in areas that we may need. Are we drawing closer? Are we fading away? I think of two kings in the Bible, King Saul and King David. And they were both called to lead Israel, to lead the children of God. But we see in their lives, one lost his crown, and the other one became of the lineage of Jesus. Right, we see one ended up rebelling, hardening his heart, this is Saul, hardening his heart, disobeying God. right? Eventually jealous, trying to kill King David, and it's just a hardened heart. He faded away for not obeying God's word. And we see King David make mistakes, many mistakes, serious mistakes, you may call them, but we see a heart that repented. We see a heart that turned back to the Lord. We see a heart that said, "Forgive me, Lord, because I know that it's you that's the important one here. It is you that matters here." So we see the two pictures of fading away and drawing closer. In which direction are we going? Which direction are we drawing? Are we drawing colder? Are we drier? Right? I read the word and, or I come to church. Do I want to come to church? What's happening in our lives? What is happening? The man of God was passing by and she persuaded him, "Come and eat with us. Come and eat with us." I said, "Come and eat with us." Right? My mom used to serve us food and she would come and there was a code with her. If you were stuffed, you were getting a little bit. It was never no more food. She would come with the pot. I don't know about you guys in your homes, but she would come with the pot and you'd have an empty plate. "Should we go on some more?" No, I'm full. Thank you. And boom, there's another scoop. I guess I'm not full. Okay, let's eat some more. And then we eat some more, right? But she would persuade you. "No, boom, you're going to eat some more food," I said. How persuasive are we, right? We need to be, as I said, intentional in these visits with God. We need to grow in the Lord. As I said, both made mistakes. One faded away, one repented. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector that we see in Luke 18, 9 through 14, we see of these two men that were praying. And we see the Pharisee goes in there and he prays. And he says, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this guy." Right? "And I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I'm not like him, and I thank you, Lord." Right? And it says that the other man, the tax collector, went down, couldn't even look up, beat his chest, and he said, "Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy on me." And the Bible there, it tells us at the end of the parable, it says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And the key here is humility. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, we're realizing that He is greater than us. Amen? He is greater. He is all powerful. I need the Lord. I humble myself before you. The one man was saying, "Look it, I'm not like this guy." We see pride there. We see arrogance. The list goes on and on. And the Bible tells us there in Luke, when the parable starts, it says that Jesus told the parable to those who trusted in themselves. Right? This parable was to those who trusted in themselves. So He knew their hearts. He knew where they were going. They trusted in their own ability, their own authority, whatever the case may be, their own gifts, whatever the case may be. They trusted in these things, and He said, "Let me tell you a parable," right? And He paints that picture of the man who was beating his chest, who humbled ourselves. In our life, are we getting bigger, or is the role of God in our life getting bigger, right? Even as we read, even as we learn, what's happening? Is our head growing, or is the Lord being magnified even more? What is happening in our life, right? Is pride swelling up? Or are we being humble? Are we humbling ourselves before the Lord? In which direction are we going? Psalm 9:10 says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Is our trust in the Lord. It says that parable was for those who put their trust in themselves. Are we trusting in the Lord? "For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God will never leave us, never forsake us, and we need to know these things. We need to know, because a lot of times we may forget, or we think the problem's greater, and we start to trust in what we think we can do, and how we think we can get out of things, or how we can fix these things. We know that the Lord is the best at that. Amen? Thank God for that. As she's inviting him in verse, as we go back to verse 9, it says that she invited a man to eat food, eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this man is a holy man of God who passes by regularly." I know that this man is a holy man of God. As he would come by, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's fun though. As he would come by, she would persuade him, as we talked about. And during these times, she realized something. This is a holy man of God. I read, as I was reading, it says that in those times there was some that would use that gift for what not was right. So they would come in, and then you would know their fruits, and their fruits were not good. And they would be like, "No, this one's all about himself. Or this one's about something else, but not about the Lord." But the way Elisha carried himself, the way he lived, maybe the way he spoke to them, this was a time when they would come and have some food. This is a time that they spent together. This visit was a time where they would talk. They would get to know each other, which led her to say, "This man is a man of God." Right? I know this man, tells her husband, "This man is a man of God." The revelation came in of who this man was and who he was all about. And it could have been of how he acted, how he conducted himself. Right? We say this, we hear this many times here, the way we live our lives, right? Sometimes the best and first testimony, the way we live, the way we act, the way we react to things. People see and they see, hey, this person's the real deal. This person's serious about their convictions. They're not wavering. They're not compromising. Right? This person is serious about the Lord. But she got the revelation. I believe this guy is the real deal. What he is all about is the real deal. This is true. The revelation came to her, and in these visits, right? And as we have our visits, as we draw in closer, may the revelation come to us of who God really is. May the revelation come to us of who we are in Christ. May the revelation come to us that He is in control. May these revelations come to us. Why? Because we are being intentional about these visits. We are being intentional. We are making that effort. "Lord, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to spend time with you. May you speak to my heart. May you speak to me. May you give me this revelation, and I can turn and say, I believe this is true. I believe that this is the real deal." And it came. She got this revelation. Why? Because these visits, she realized, this guy is serious. This guy speaks truth. What this guy is all about is, I don't know why I keep saying it, the real deal. Say real deal. Sorry. In Matthew 20, 29 through 33, story about two blind men that receive sight. But in this story, we see that Jesus asked them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Right? They're getting his attention. Today we're waving arms. It's kind of fun, though, freeing. But they're waving, getting the attention. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Right? They had a visit with the Lord. "What do you want me to do for you?" And they answered, "That our eyes may be open." Their eyes may be open. It says, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Okay? Their eyes received sight, and they followed him. What do you want me to do? Hey, you're here at church. What is it you want me to do? "Lord, I want to know you more. I'm coming back to the heart of worship," as we heard earlier. What is it you want me to do? Open my eyes. open my eyes. Even if it is this guy up here saying dad jokes. Open my eyes. Speak to my heart. What is it you want me to do that my eyes may be open? If you're alone in your quiet time and you open the Bible or click the Bible, whatever it is you do, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes. And it says immediately their eyes received sight, and then they followed. They didn't just receive the sight and said, okay, thank you for the gift. I'll call you on the next one. It says that they received sight, and then they followed. Amen? God has done many things for us. Many things for us. The greatest gift is dying for our lives. Dying for our sins. The greatest gift has been done already. He did many things in our lives. And sometimes we forget. But may He open our eyes and realize of His goodness. That He has been good, is good, and will continue and always be good. That He is true. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may that be our prayer with the Lord every day. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes that I may see. That I may be sensitive to Your will. Show me somewhere. If someone's hurting, if someone's out there lost, that I may be a conduit to touch their lives as well. Open my eyes, Lord. The woman knew that there was more. The woman knew that there was more to it, not just visits. The woman knew that there was more. And after she said, I believe this man is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. In verse 10, she says, please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Period. It made it sound like there was another word. He can turn in there. She knew that there was more. She knew that there was more. Say, there's more. There's more. Draw closer to Him. There's more that the Lord has for us. She knew that there was more. She said, let's make a room for Him. We're not just going to call Him in to eat, but now we're going to make a room for this man of God. We're going to build this room, and whether it was in the roof, and I heard, and just reading through commentaries, some say it was on the wall, in the roof, or different places. I do know He said He went up. But that doesn't matter right now where it was. Bottom line is that they made a room for the man of God. They made a room. She told her husband, you know, we made fun of the husband for go tell your mom. But this guy's probably smarter than he is because he was just listening to the wife. Right? Hey, I perceive he's a man of God. Okay. Let's build a room. Okay. Right? I think we got to give him a little more credit. Right? Later on, she gets in there. She says, hey, give me a donkey. Send the servant. All right. Go ahead. So anyways, just get off the guy, right? Just give the guy some slack. But they made this room. And the room, what it represented in these days, was a place for the prophet to kind of take a break, if you will, right? Seclude himself. A time to study. A time to pray. A time to just be with God, be with himself, and just rest, right? And it was a place. It wasn't like us, where we had cousins sharing the fold-out bed or, you know, trying to find out where they can sleep. It was a place for themselves. It was in the house. It was attached. But it was a place where they can find peace. And it was a place, right? There's a table. There's a lampstand. And there's all these things where you can rest, read, write, whatever the prophet needed to do, this was available for him, right? And that's what was happening there. Let's make this room so that he doesn't only come to eat, but now he has a place that he can stay. And once again, I think of my life and we think of ours where we say, are we making this room for the Lord? Are we going from visit to drawing closer to, hey, I'm going to build this room. Let's make a room for the Lord. Right? Let's make this room for the Lord. What am I doing for the Lord? Are we making room? Are we moving from just a visitor to now you have full access? Not just to a room, but you have my home. Right? Where is the Lord? What part does he play in our lives? Is he just a visitor coming just whenever he's in the neighborhood? Right? Or when we set up a meeting? Where is the Lord in our lives? Or does he have access and permission to do as he pleases? What is happening in our lives? Are we fading? Are we drawing closer? May our prayer be, open our eyes that we may draw closer, that you may have full access to this room. You have access to my home, my family. You, Lord, dwell in this room. You dwell in this home. We need to move and draw closer and get closer, get that revelation of who God is and say, this is the real deal. I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to follow him. And not just, well, we'll see what happens. But I make the decision to follow him. I'm not just going to follow him because my parents made me. I'm not just going to follow him because it's a thing to do or because they say. No, because I have made the decision to follow Christ. I have made the decision to draw closer. I have made the decision to humble myself before the Lord, to furnish this room. Right? It talks about the furniture, a bed. There's a bed, a table, a chair, and a lampstand. A bed, which signifies you're not just visiting, but you can stay here. You can dwell. This is your place. Right? Sometimes you go to somebody's house or they come to our house and the living room's as far as they go. Right? Don't come to the back yet and you're not there yet. Okay? Calm down. Right? Porch maybe. Right? Just right here. Let's talk right here. I'll stay on this side of the door. You stay on that side. And then we'll see how this interview goes to see if I let you in. But right here they says you got a room and there's a bed for you. There's a bed, which means you can just stay. Stay here. This is where you dwell. Are we telling that to the Lord? Right? Are you saying this is your room? You may dwell here. There's a table to dine with. And in dinner, what happens in dinner other than getting stuff? There's communication going on. Right? There's relationships being built. Right? Are we spending that time with the Lord? Are we getting to know she spent that time, they spend that time with Elisha, to a point where they said, I believe this is a man of God. Right? I believe this is a man of God. Right? Maybe you're saying, I don't see that way. Are we spending time? Are we having this relationship with the Lord? Are we having communication with the Lord? Are we dining with the Lord and saying, sit here. Your bed's there. Let's sit here. Let's eat. Let me get to know you. What is happening in our lives? There's a chair. A chair which represents the throne, right? Now I gotta be honest. In my living room, there's my spot, okay? And sometimes people come to visit and they sit there. And you're like, all right, you guys gotta go. No, I'm kidding. I don't say that. Like, I'm sorry, this meeting is over. But I do. I have a favorite chair. I have a favorite spot, right? And it's a good spot. I'm not going to tell you where because now everybody's going to walk in the house and be like, I don't know where to sit now. But there is a place, right, that I like. There's a spot I like in the dining room table, right? That's just within us, right? But in this chair for the Lord, are we saying, hey, Lord, this is my spot. You sit over there, right? I may tell you what to do. Here's my list. Or are we saying, Lord, this is your chair. This is your throne. You're in charge. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. How are we treating the Lord? This is your throne, right? You are the King. Or are we saying, I'm in charge? What is happening once again in our lives? There's a light. There's a lampstand there. May his light shine. And Lord, may your light shine in me and through me. As you reveal who you are, may you enlighten my life. May you give me that revelation. What are we furnishing this room with in our lives? This room was for Elisha to come and go as he pleases. He was in control to do as he pleases. Are we giving the Spirit of the Lord permission to do as he pleases? The Spirit is in us, but does he have control over us? Or do we try to say, once again, I'm in control? What is happening once again in our lives? Or where are we at, I should say? Not what is happening. Where are we at in our lives? Are we just visiting, or is he dwelling in our lives? How do we make room for the Lord? What must we do? We must repent, come clean, forgive me of my sins, and invite him in. Repent and invite him in. Repent and invite him in. Lord, what is it? What must I do? Ask the Lord in your life. Ask the Lord in your life. Make him your one true Lord and Savior. Make him the one who is in control. If we are saved already, is he in control? Does he have access? Are we trying to hide a room, lock a room? What are we doing? Lord, may you have control and full access. And if you don't, Lord, may you show us these areas. Reveal these areas to us that we may be set free in these areas. Amen? We need your freedom, Lord. And finally, we see that this room that was built for the Lord became the room where the miracle happened. They built the room, and she didn't say, let's build the room so that the Lord can bless us with this miracle. Or she didn't say, let's build the room so that I can get this. Right? It wasn't like, if I do this, you're going to do this. Because as we saw in the story, he said, what can we do for you? Can I talk to the king? Can I talk to the leader of the army? What do you want me? And she said, I live amongst my people, which means I'm good. Right? And today's translation would be, I'm good. Right? I'm not doing this to gain anything. I'm not doing this. It's just so that you may dwell in this place. Lord, I want you. That is what I want. I want you. I want you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added. What is it that you want? That my eyes may be open, that I may see your goodness, that I truly may see who you are. The room was built, and the room became the place for the miracle. In verse 21, it says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. That room, after the child died, she took him up, closed that door, right? She didn't start mourning, crying. She had the faith. We see the faith here of the Shunammite woman, where she says, hold on, I'll be back. Put the boy down, right? And took off after the man of God. She knows this was a promise of the Lord. She knows that this was a word of the man of God, right? She had the faith, didn't waver, and she went back after him. She went back. They saw him coming. Elisha even says, go find out what this is because the Lord is hiding it from me. I do not know what's going on, but here she comes. Right? He even says, right? What's going on? Is it your husband? Is it your son? What's happening? Tell me what's happening. Right? And she says, I told you not to lie to me. I told you, right? When he gave her the promise, she said, don't lie to me. And the promise came. And then she went back and said, I told you not to lie to me. Right? But he went back, as we know. He went back. The child was brought back to life. See, when God is in control of our lives, we begin to encounter his love, his goodness, his peace, joy, his strength, his comfort, his healing, on and on and on and on. We don't just hear about it. We don't just know about it because we heard the stories. We begin to live these things. The child died. The promise died. Whatever it is, died, right? I thought this, or the promise, whatever it is, died. But she said, no way. It is not dead. It is not dead. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. We start to experience his love, who he is. We come to realize that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We find out that when we have a place now that we can cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. This room that was built became a place This relationship that's built as we give our hearts to the Lord, as we make room for the Lord, it becomes a place now that we can have confidence in Him, trust in Him, find security in Him, and we can say, Lord, it's in Your hands now. It's in Your hands, and I trust in You, and I'm not going to waver. I know, and I trust, and I believe in Your promises. I believe in Your promises. The woman placed the child in this room, in the hands of God. I said, nah, I believe in the blessings of the Lord. I believe that God will come through. I believe that God is on my side. I believe that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I believe that the battle belongs to the Lord. I believe in His healing power. I believe in His touch. I believe in His embrace. I believe that all things work for the good of those who trust in Him. I believe that He is the real deal. I believe that He is true. He is just. He is faithful. How did she get to this place? Went from visit to building a room. It went from just visits and visits and just come and eat, right? To, you know what? You have our home. You have our home. You're not just stopping by. No, that's enough of that. There's your bed, right? That's enough. I don't like that you come and then you leave, right? I don't like that, right? I don't like that anymore. You're staying. You're staying now, right? Where are we at? What is happening? Where are we at? Right? Let's think about that. Let's pray about that. And let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give You honor. We give You glory always, Lord. And we thank You, Father, for Your goodness, for Your mercy, for Your love, Lord. We thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You for this story. We thank You for this example, Lord. We thank You that You show us time and time again, Lord, that You come through. That You don't waver, Lord. You are not a man that You should lie, Lord. We thank You, Father, for showing us these testimonies, these praise reports, these breakthroughs, Lord. We thank You that we can even look in this room, Lord, look in our homes and see the miracles that You have done in our lives, Lord. You have saved us. You have touched us. You have set us on a path of eternal glory, Lord. We thank You for that, Lord. And Father, may we move, Father, from just visiting, Lord, to may You dwell here, Lord. May You dwell in our lives. May You dwell in our hearts, Lord. May You dine with us, Lord. May You be exalted above all, Lord. It is no longer I who is in control, but You're in control, Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, move in our lives, Lord. We give You honor. We give You glory, Lord. Continue to speak to our hearts, Lord. Praise be to You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Amen.